We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by Cataluchi Ski Area. It's freezing right now. It's like 14 degrees in at Cataluchi on the mountain. It's in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. It's been super cold, of course, all this week, which is great because it means they've made tons and tons of snow. And then when it warms up a little bit, get up there and go skiing, or down there, depending on where you are. I guess it's all up once you get to the bottom of the mountain and up there. It's a lot of fun, though, and it's right off I-40, really easy to get to. Just exit 20, go through Maggie Valley, right up the mountain, and you're there. They do a great job of making snow as much as possible when it's cold, and great ski days even when it's warm there at Cataluchi Ski Area. Just go to cataluchi.com for all the information. Big basketball game tonight for Tennessee. Might not be big on the whole national kind of spectrum of everything. That'll come on Saturday with game day at Kansas, and Tennessee will try and spoil the Kansas commercial. As you said it, Houston, I think that makes a lot of sense. But this one's probably really, you know, much more important for Tennessee's season. I mean, obviously, if you could beat Kansas, that'd be one thing. But you really need to beat Ole Miss. And then hopefully you can just play well against Kansas and let the chips fall where they fall. Tonight, though, it's 9 o'clock. It is on SEC Network. It's at home. So I'm sure you could swing by Thompson Bowling and snag some tickets and go to the game if you want.
Yeah, this one I do not believe was a sellout.
9 o'clock. The little ticket says low as thing here on the website I'm checking says $2. So
$2.
Yeah. So it should be pretty easy to get in if you've got the time,
like,
or if you're able to sleep in on Wednesday. Be a great one to go check out, I guess, as Tennessee plays Ole Miss. We mentioned Ole Miss hasn't won a conference game yet. They actually lost their last non-conference game as the new year started. They haven't won a game in 2020, so they've lost to Wichita State, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Florida, and LSU. And their road losses have been bad. They lost by 20 away to Wichita State. They lost on the road to A&M by 10, who's really bad. And they lost.
Didn't A&M just beat somebody? Halfway decent? They beat Arkansas? Did I make that up?
Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. That's it.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay.
They beat Vanderbilt by 19. Maybe that's what you're thinking about. I don't know. I mean, they're all bad. Tennessee needs to make sure they stay there. They're on KenPom, favored to win 68-60.
It's going to be tough to get five guys in double figures if you're only scoring 68.
It's true. You need a balanced performance.
Quite balanced, if that's the point total there.
I feel like you could have gone four guys and Davey probably would have accepted.
Can I back that up to four?
Not now.
I'll let you go up to six.
Respect the move. I believe yesterday Tennessee was an 87.2% favorite. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
It's down to 84.2 now, according to the matchup predictor on ESPN's Basketball Power Index. Still a 7.5-point spread for Tennessee. The over-under here is 127.5. So 68-60, that would be the over, but barely. By about a half point.
Half point, yeah.
Did Tennessee figure something out against Vanderbilt, or was Vanderbilt just butt?
Well, I think Vanderbilt was definitely awful when they were on offense, so I'm not sure how much credit you give Tennessee's defense. I'm not saying you knock it. I'm just saying it's a big question mark.
Mm-hmm.
But they definitely, I thought, I mean, anytime Tennessee gets the ball to go in the basket the way it did in the second half, like, that's got to be good news. They scored 45 points and a half. I mean, that's something.
No, I agree with you.
I mean, they've struggled.
And they only hit 1-3. It's not like they started bombing threes and all of a sudden you rack up 45 points. They kind of did it, you know, with decent offense. And I think they finally did what we all have been saying from the mountaintop all season, is get in transition and run. Jordan Bowden especially, then you look at Pons, Fulkerson, like, we had some good transition buckets. Can you run against Ole Miss? It feels like they're probably going to try to run against you.
Mm-hmm.
This might be a track meet. That 68-60 might be a little low. I hope so. I need those guys in double figures. Billy, you still nervous? Are you getting more confident on Optimism Tuesday as we get closer to the game? Or are you still timid about the Vols' chances against Ole Miss tonight? And is it just because of Tyree? Like, is Tyree...
I think Tennessee will win. I just think 8 points is a little high. I think...
Even though your math had it at, like, 12 and a half?
I think Tennessee is... I think they're about the same team. I think Ole Miss can have some games where they're going to look very good offensively and they're going to be able to hang with LSU. I mean, it was 80-76 the other night. They're also going to have some games. I think you mentioned it. They scored 37 points against Oklahoma State. They scored 55 against Florida. They're kind of hit or miss. I just think they don't have really, other than Texas A&M, they don't really have a bad loss. Tennessee doesn't either. I think they're very similar. I would almost say like a 4-point spread instead of 8. I think it can go either way tonight. Tennessee comes out. Worry.
So you don't think Tennessee figured something out against Vanderbilt? You think that was just kind of a perfect storm of a second half?
No, I mean, I guess you can make that argument. I just think Vanderbilt's terrible, though. And Tennessee's offense hasn't been, like, so bad. Like, again, it's had games where it's looked really bad and other games where, I mean, they scored 69 points against Missouri. I feel like that's kind of where you want to be in SEC play. You want to try to get to that 70 mark. Anything over that, like, you're happy with. They scored 72 against VCU. I mean, 66 against Cincinnati. Like,
that was not a good performance, though. Mm.
Well, defensively.
I thought, I mean, I didn't think really that last 10 minutes of that game was brutal to watch. On the season, Tennessee averaging 66.1 points per game, Ole Miss 69.2. The difference is Tennessee giving up 59.6 points a game. Ole Miss giving up 67.1. Field goal percentage, very, very close, 43.4 to 42.5. Tennessee has the edge in rebounds, assists, blocks, and Ole Miss does average 7.4 steals a game to Tennessee's 6. They have lost 5 in a row. We said this about Georgia going into that game, like, do they have their backs against the wall? And they came out like they had their backs against the wall and was it like Tennessee had the lead 10 minutes in, and then Georgia just put it on you and couldn't miss a three?
I think the better Tennessee's offense is, the harder it is going to be for them to win games, if that makes sense.
It doesn't.
No, not at all.
Please elaborate, because what? So if we're better on offense, it's going to be...
Like, I felt like Tennessee was pretty good on offense against LSU, and they just couldn't stop them. Against Georgia, they came out. They were okay for a little while. Georgia heated up with more possessions and scored a bunch of points. I feel
so
like...
So you think when Tennessee's on offense, it just makes it a more back-and-forth game, and then the defense isn't good enough to
correct.
Keep up?
Even though the defense statistically is really good. It doesn't make sense.
This is a conundrum.
Yeah. I feel like they're younger players, so they make bigger mistakes. So other teams hit bigger shots, they go on bigger runs, and Tennessee's offense just isn't that good to overcome those.
Well, it hasn't been as explosive.
Just muddle up the game. So play slower?
Yeah.
Unless, I don't know, but that's the thing. They picked up the pace against Vanderbilt and got easy layups in transition.
Yeah, I just think Vanderbilt's trash. I mean, maybe that is their game. Maybe that's how Tennessee's offense looks a whole lot better. Is it, like you said, they speed up the game. I just feel like when they score more points, they don't play as good.
They've been brutal on the road.
Yeah.
This is a road game for them, yes?
Correct.
I mean, you were talking about how they kept it close against LSU and Arkansas, which is true. Both were 4-point games. Those were both in Oxford. Their road games, they lost by 16 to Florida, lost by 10 to A&M, who we all agree is not very good. And at Wichita State, they lost by 20. I just feel like this is shaping up for Ole Miss to come in, lay an egg, and Tennessee probably doesn't even have to play all that well, and they skate out of here. It's a house of horrors, man. It's Tom Spoelling Arena. You don't just roll the ball out on the court and expect to beat Tennessee at home. Just recently, we held the nation's longest winning streak.
Maybe I'm underrating Tennessee.
I think you are. Maybe not underrating them. I think you overrate their opponent, typically. It's your own personal fear. You're scared of getting hurt. You don't want to be hurt again. I get it. But if we're just talking basketball here, right? Chess pieces, statistics. This feels
like a better roster.
Yeah. This feels like a game, as long as you don't let Tyree go for 30, you should probably be able to slowly pull away from start to finish in this one. Save a few runs here and there by Ole Miss, because they are streaky. And this was a pretty highly contested game last year. This was the one where Admiral takes a charge late and Tennessee had to fight back. I think it was Grant the possession before, hits a little turnaround jumper down the lane, or maybe that was the one where he drove almost all the way to the basket. I don't know if Tennessee is such a different team. I don't feel like Ole Miss comes in thinking, oh, revenge. But there might be a little bit of that. I don't know. Tennessee, it looked like in the second half against Vanderbilt, yes, Vanderbilt missed all their threes. It just felt like something clicked. We looked comfortable.
Yeah.
We were flying around. You know, we were running good in transition. Fulkerson was playing well. Even Uros got in and went 2-3. Obviously, Pons was Pons. He had 12 points. Fulkerson had 12. And then Bowden, which, I mean, I think we've all agreed, like, been in a pretty bad slump. He did not take as many threes as he normally does against Vanderbilt. He goes for 21. Did he see the ball go through the basket enough against Vanderbilt to maybe start to climb his way out of that slump? This is a good opportunity to come back against a team who defensively is not that great. They're not a great defensive team. Now the question is, does he draw Tyree as his defensive assignment? And if so, how much does that limit him offensively if you're having to chase Tyree around? I'm of the mind that Tennessee figured something out against Vanderbilt, and that was probably why Barnes was like, no, let's leave these guys on the floor because this is kind of working. Let's let them get comfortable with it. I would imagine that another game under his belt, another couple of practices, Vescovi will be better. I don't know what they're like in the post, but I think Uros is probably going to get some more minutes tonight.
Well, we'll break down their starters, their main players, and I got a defensive question kind of back at you, Hugh, so I want to get your thoughts on Tyree and how you handle him tonight.
Box him one.
He's obviously triangle into both on him. We'll break it down next right here on 3 and Out. All right, so we've been talking about Tyree. He'll be number 4 tonight, I believe. 6'2", 195 pounds. And he is their go-to guy, according to KenPom, which means greater than 28% of the possessions he is featured.
Box him one.
He takes 33.5% of the shots that Ole Miss puts up. Next best is Shuler with 20, Shuler and Henson both take 22%.
Just for comparison, Jordan Bowden takes 26.2% of Tennessee's shots. He leads the Vols.
So Tyree's taking a bunch. What do you do with him? Are we going to like let him get his, shut everybody else down, or are we going to try and take him away and make other guys beat you?
I think I like the second option there.
Yeah?
Feels like when we try to take the star away, we don't, and then the other guys get theirs anyway.
Yeah.
But I still think that's probably your best bet. Like, I think you got to try to limit Tyree and just say, all right, Shuler, Henson, like, if you're going to get it, get it.
KenPom does this thing where he compares the way the players playing this year statistically compared to other players from the past. Brandon Tyree, similar to Kevin Punter in 2016.
There you go. They've got one guy, is it Sy, S-Y? I guess number 3, he's a 6'10", 240-pounder. So
we'll put Plavzic on him, not worried.
He'll be the load inside to have to handle. Henson, 6'7", 230, sophomore. I mean, both those guys, though, only play about half the game. And then
Buffen, number 5, 6'7", 225, is another guy that will get quality minutes. He plays 70% of the minutes. So look for those guys tonight. Billy, this question we're talking about during the break, how is Ole Miss as a shooting team? Like how many threes are they taking? How many are they making? What about offense and defense for Ole Miss, you know, from the outside and inside?
They don't shoot the three very well, 32.2%. And the times that they've lost games, they kind of take too many threes to get back in it. And if you're not hitting them, obviously you're not going to get back in the game. The Oklahoma State game, they were 1 for 20 from three, and they weren't even taking good shots. It was just bad looks, quick shots. The other night against LSU, they shot 9 for 23. So when they do hit, you know, a couple,
gets them going.
Yeah, they're right in the game. I mean, they hit 7 against Butler. That was a 9-point game.
Now, it looks like they're pretty good defending all around, though. 13th in the country in effective field goal percentage
really?
Defense. If I'm reading that right. And then their turnover percentage, they're 105th. So that's pretty average. So shouldn't be worried about their pressure and causing a bunch of turnovers there. They're really good defending the two. They're only giving up 41.5% from two. They give up 31.5% from three, which is in the average range. But they don't allow a good percentage from two. I almost feel like that means they're packing it in more and forcing you to take longer shots.
Good thing we're at home. Maybe. I don't know.
They also have a really high block percentage, which would explain why teams are having trouble scoring around the basket. And I went through the size. I mean, they're not like the tallest team, but they got some beef down there.
I feel like I remember that about them last year. Like, they weren't incredibly tall, but they had like good athleticism and
girth.
Yeah, for lack of a better word. They weren't tall, but they were big.
Husky.
Yeah. But also really athletic with the size.
They got two guys the three and the four will be played by guys like 6'7", and then of course the center that Nate was talking about earlier, 6'10".
It looks like Tyree did not play against Florida.
Yeah, I have no clue why.
Interesting. In his last three games that he's played, he's gone for 36, 27, and 26. In that stretch, he is 11 of 22 from three. So he's hitting about a 50% clip over the last three games that he's played. I don't know why he didn't play against Florida. That's strange.
No, I need to correct myself. I was reading Tennessee's 2-point percent.
Okay, because when you said that, I was like, I thought we were the team that was really good inside.
Yeah. No, that was Tennessee's list. I've been on the Ole Miss page, and I flipped over to Tennessee to check something.
Tennessee checks all the boxes when you're comparing Ole Miss's offense versus Tennessee's defense. Like, they're better at guarding the two. They're better at guarding the three.
Yeah, Ole Miss is actually a little better at guarding the three, although not as good, and they're not good at guarding the two. So,
That actually
makes more sense.
So, that actually bodes well, because we have not been shooting the three lately.
And Ole Miss's three-point shooting is just, as you mentioned, it's atrocious.
Yeah, it feels like Tyree's pretty much what they got. Like, it's strange. It's very inconsistent, his like 3-point attempts. Like, he shot 11 against MTSU. He was 8 of 11. And then he shoots 2 in a loss against Wichita State. Only scored 9 points. He shoots 13 against Texas A&M in a 10-point loss. And then he only shoots 3 against Arkansas in a 4-point loss. Like, he's kind of all over the place.
The only thing they do well is offensive rebound, apparently.
I remember that from last year, too. Felt like we were getting bullied around on the glass a little bit. But I feel like defensive rebounding has kind of been an issue for us lately, so that might – although that said, we've out-rebounded, I think, 4 out of the last 5 teams we've played. It's just we get those weird possessions where it feels like they're stacking up 5 rebounds and we just can't get a hold of the ball.
Yeah.
And I think that's been – we've talked about that a lot this year. This team has not exactly – been aggressive pursuers of the rebound from time to time.
Well, I think one of the keys is when opposing teams get offensive rebounds, they score or get fouled on their second chance points. Like Tennessee doesn't.
No, it's true.
Tennessee will miss another layup.
Well, that's been a weird stat all year. Like I remember this was a big deal with Grant Williams because he would drive, and I mean, there were games obviously where he got fouled a lot and shot a lot of free throws. But then it was like midway through the year last year. Do you remember this? Like something changed and he wasn't getting those foul calls all of a sudden, because I'm sure the SEC coaches were complaining, like, you can't bail this guy out every time. It seems like even this year we've paid a little bit of that price too. There was a putback that Pons had against Vanderbilt where I thought he got fouled and they didn't call it. Fulkerson, I feel like it happens all the time, but it's probably just because he acts a little wild and they don't know if it's a foul or just the way he's normally shooting. And Bowden, I think part of it's on him, but I think a lot of it is he's driving, he thinks he gets fouled, he misses the shot, and then there's no foul call. But he's also not finished through contact well until the Vanderbilt game, so maybe that gets switched up a little bit too.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines and grab Philly, talk a little hoops. What's up, Phil?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Philly, I'm feeling good. I think the Vols are going to roll tonight.
Well, I don't know about rolling. I think they'll win, but I think it'll be fairly close. Ole Miss is a little bit like us. Like y'all said earlier, they played great in the first half, and then they fall apart in the second half. I've watched them several times. So.
What do you do with Tyree, Philly? You think they go, they throw Bowden on him and just say, do what you can? Because Bowden lately has kind of struggled to stay in front of those faster guards, too.
Yeah. I don't know what they'll do. That's a good question. Tyree's got a bad back, I think.
Is that what it was? Okay.
I think it's been kind of lingering injury. So hopefully he'll be about stiffen up, you know, when it comes in there with all this cold weather.
Yeah. That's, you know what? Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, that's when it would typically do that. I mean, this has been a it's been a stark change from about a week ago when it was in the 60s and 70s, and now, yeah, the high today is, what'd you say, Nate? The high's 35. Going to be a little chilly getting off the bus heading into the arena tonight.
Yeah, it won't be like walking through the Grove, will it?
No, no.
But I don't know. It's you can't let him go off for 30. If you just hold him to, you know, a few points less than his average and, you know, clamp down everybody else, y'all come out with a win. But Tennessee will have to score some points to win because Ole Miss can score.
Just reading Philly, just to back you up. Sorry for the pun. But, yeah, they listed it as a back contusion as the reason he was out against Florida.
Well, they played LSU good. I watched the bits and pieces of it. Will Wade, I don't know how that scumbag keeps – the referees don't tee him up every time he gets off the floor, you know. He gets way more than Coach SEC.
He gives him a strong-ass offer.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
That's But y'all see James Springer there or not?
No, what'd he do?
He went up against the number one player in America. The Cunningham guy's going to Oklahoma State, and he's the number one recruit out there.
Yeah, it sounds about right. How'd Springer look?
He held his own, but Cunningham got the best of him. Mm. But he still got double figures. He was shut out in the first half, but then he had 11, 12 points the second half. But he's playing point guard at the IMG.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham. Yikes.
Love talent, but I don't know, guys. Do you think Tennessee's going to win these games that they can win because it's going to get – look at the schedule here in about two or three games. It's going to get real – well, Saturday's going to be hard. I mean, I don't expect Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not writing the game off, but that's not one, obviously, that you are expecting to win. You're hoping for a miracle maybe, but I don't think a loss to Kansas is going to break anybody's heart. I will say this, Philly, like – this league has been up and down to start league play. Like, Auburn looked like $1 million, and now they've lost two straight. Florida seems to be up and down. I still don't know what to make of Kentucky. I mean, they play really well and beat Louisville in overtime, and then they go and lose at South Carolina to a South Carolina team that, frankly, is just not very good.
Well, you know, let's just hope that we can beat either Kentucky or Florida here in Knoxville. It seems like Barnes has their number.
That's true.
They show signs of weakness, even though Florida's got a boatload of talent. I'm surprised they're not playing better than they do. I don't understand what.
Well, that's the Mike White issue that all Florida fans have, is they look at the roster and they see the talent, and then the offense they run does not match the personnel unless you get one of those weird nights where everybody's just hitting shots. And when that happens and the talent shines through, yeah, they look really, really good. Problem is Mike White kind of bottles them up a little bit at times.
Hindsight being 2020, they probably should have took Quez Glover instead of getting Bailey as a transfer from Oregon.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee needs a ball handler this year. I mean, look at us. I mean, we turn the ball over way too much.
I mean,
Bailey's going to help him next year.
But has Quez been – I haven't been keeping up with his minutes. I mean, I saw he got to play – was it the Providence game I think I was watching, and he got to play some minutes, but it didn't look like he was doing anything. I mean
– he's played in 17 games.
So all of them.
He looked pretty good against Buck Pearl.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's how you beat Buck Pearl guard playing. And Auburn don't have any guards.
I know it's weird. It's weird. Auburn's a big – it's like what he did at Tennessee, right? He came in, we had push and tempo, press, and then by the time he left, we had a roster full of big guys.
Do you all know who Baylor plays in the SEC shootout with the Big 12?
Yeah, they got Florida.
Really?
Yeah, this week, Saturday night in Gainesville.
Well, that'll be –
8 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, I guess Billy's happy since the communist out there in California won. You know
who?
The communist in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy. Bay Area Billy. What are you talking about, Philly?
Well, I don't like 49ers. You might like them, but I mean, well, ever since they got that new, they started doing things different out there. You know what I mean? I liked it back in the day when they had Montana and Steve Young and all them guys.
That's when I fell in love.
They've lost their soul out there. You know what I'm saying?
What, Jimmy G doesn't do it for you?
The 49ers have it.
Do they? You want to watch that Bosa guy? I mean, that guy can play, but anything from Ohio State, I can't stand. But Garoppolo is going to have to make a play, though, in the Super Bowl. We'll see if he can. Yep.
Probably have to throw it more than 8 times, I'd imagine.
I agree. Y'all, keep us warm, you know. See.
We'll do our best. Thanks, Philly.
Quez Glover's averaging 5.4 points a game. He's playing about half the game recently. 18 minutes, 17 minutes, 18
minutes. That's pretty good.
Played 22 in a double overtime game against Alabama. And
He hasn't been playing point, though, for him, has he? I mean, at that size, I guess you might have to, but what?
I don't know.
24% of his time is played at point guard.
24? What's his, like, assist turnover?
He did turn it over more than I thought.
More, yeah, it's bad. It's not good.
No?
It's 0.6 assists a game, 1.2 turnovers. So it's 1-2, which is not what you want.
Not what you want. That's Vescovy numbers.
Yeah. That's tough.
Sorry, Billy.
We'll come back.
What's his high-scoring game?
I only have the last. In the last five, it's 8 points.
Okay.
He's gone 6-2, 6-8-5.
Okay.
So, you know, high score on the season.
14.
Okay. And he had 11 December 28th also. And 11 against Miami. So 14 in one game, 11 in two others, 10. And then everything else has been high single digits.
I mean, I'm not saying he wouldn't help us in some regard. I don't know about – I feel like Bailey next year could have a pretty big impact on this team.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen Bailey in a Tennessee uniform, so I'm not ready to say, Philly, you're wrong. I don't know. I like the idea of Bailey. I think he's a more prototypical guard because of his size. That's the one knock on Quez is he's a little guy. Mm-hmm. Whereas Bailey, I mean, we'll see, obviously, but sounds like a guy who can shoot the three, and he's long enough to defend the type of guard you're going to run into when you make it deep into postseason play. Like, if you make it to Sunday of the SEC Championship, you're going to be playing a team that's got long, athletic guards. Feels like Bailey's probably a little bit better fit to guard some guys like that. Like what Kentucky typically has, like what Auburn has had in the past.
Yeah, the challenge is it would be nice to have another guard this year, but you really don't want to have another guard next year. You want the opposite. So it's like, oh, yeah, should have taken Glover over Cam Hua or one of these tweener guys, but the problem is then next year you'd have too many guards. So it's like, which year do you want to kind of put more chips on?
Kamwa.
What'd I say?
Kamhuwa. You reverted back to the original horrible name that we made up. Kamhuwa.
We didn't make it up. Got sent to us.
No, I think I said like Kamhuwa, and then I felt like I was close, and then it was like, oh yeah, it is Kamhuwa. So I feel like I deserve some responsibility there.
The Finnish, 1 of 37, sent us Kamhuwa, and it was so wrong.
So bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, we apologize. Yeah, we'll come back with more right here on Fan Run Radio.
Southland band playing rocky top. Smokey leading our boys out through the tee. Makes a hair.
Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Become a member. We've all been waiting, ball in the air, kneeling. Big game tonight. I know, like, no one outside Tennessee and Ole Miss fans will care, but Philly put it best. If you don't win these games, like, you are just going to have to punt this season. Like, Tennessee, you know, has been taking care of business in these. The road game at Georgia, I guess, is that Tennessee's worst loss?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, not to knock you. You said no bad losses. I think that one classifies.
Well, they're a bubble team right now.
No, yeah, so. I'm just saying, if you lose the game and it's close, and I get what you're saying, but
you're saying 20, it's a bad loss.
Yeah.
I got you.
Just, if you're the Cincinnati one got weird late. You were pretty much in that one the whole time. Memphis was a slugfest of slop that you lost, but you hadn't been really embarrassed until Georgia, and Georgia was, what, like a 2.5-point favorite? Like, that's the one game on the year where I'm just like, they did not show up. Which is frustrating.
We didn't show up against Wisconsin.
Make that two. Good point by you. That game, I've wiped it from my memory. It was so bad.
Yeah.
Another team that just got red hot and couldn't miss.
Tonight in SEC play, Georgia travels to Kentucky.
Quick rematch.
Oh, yeah. They just played, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like us late when we go like Auburn, two other teams, Auburn again, and then we have Kentucky. How is this a thing that still happens with the scheduling? Like, why can we not balance these a little bit better with the rematches?
There's always one game, it seems like, in every sport, you know? Like, the NFL always has a couple teams do, like, 15 and
didn't the 49ers have a game like that where it was, like, they played them? It was, like, Arizona, maybe? Like, they played Arizona.
Like, two weeks later.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks later. It's so strange.
I think it's a scheduling thing. Like, you can have all of them, like, kind of far apart, but if you really want to set some of them where it's, like, you know, the full range apart, you're going to have to pick one or two where they're closer.
I just don't like that ours always seem to get backloaded. Mm. Seems like that always happens to us. Like, we play the good teams close to each other, backloaded, the last 3 years.
Last few years. Florida travels to LSU. That's a big
game. What time? Is that 7?
Those are both at 7.
I might want to check that one out. That's I just feel like LSU is a problem for anyone. They're just not overall good enough to win all their games, but athletically and their ability to shoot and rebound, like, they're just tough. Like, you,
well, it kind of be nice for Tennessee if LSU, like, wins all these games and Florida and even Kentucky become more beatable. Like, LSU's 5-0 in conference play. They win this tonight, that's a pretty good start for the Tigers.
I'm with you. I just, man, it's so frustrating. Like, it continues to be so maddening with what LSU got away with, and now they're going to be, I mean, right now, obviously, they're the front runner to win the regular season SEC championship. Like, it's ridiculous, really. Like, all that went on, and then all they lost, and Will Wade just cheats his way to another regular season championship. Stupid. Hate that guy. He's a sack of mayonnaise, man. Like, he drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Don't like to see bad people that you know are bad continue to have success.
Well, and if you're going to go to TV setup, you don't want to miss A&M at Missouri.
Yes, you do.
9 o'clock as the Vols play.
No, that I do. I do want to miss it. Thank you, Nate. I will miss that one.
From Mizzou Arena, Columbia, Missouri.
Dozens on hand to watch.
Thanks to the fight of Geist.
Yeah.
It's the Con Zone. They're 1-4 in SEC. But
Missouri fans are already talking about, like, do we fire this guy?
I mean,
is it time?
This will be a big one. This will be a big hiring and firing game, right?
It almost kind of feels like a game that Missouri will lose.
They all feel like games.
They're
Missouri.
9-point favorites.
They had one upswing where they blast Florida, which still makes no sense to me.
I bet on it. That's why.
Then they. They bounced
now we
back.
Know.
It's my
now
fault.
We know.
45 points.
Lock of the day: Florida over Missouri, and they trounced them.
Yeah, you guys got to stop betting basketball, man. Like, just
I'm done.
I'm out of money.
Good.
Well, until the 49ers
because you
win
keep
it
betting
all.
Basketball.
No, you're not out of money. Your money's just tied up.
That's
there's
true.
A difference.
It's true.
Stock options and hedge funds and things like that. I can't get to my money right now. Oh, A&M, Missouri. Good God. I mean, there might be
$5 richer tomorrow.
There
baby.
Might be 200 people in that arena tonight.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
He's not going to be he's going to be $5 poorer.
Oh, you think so?
After we get we might have 6 or 7 in double figures tonight.
Billy, what do you think?
It's going to be well-balanced scoring.
You got to pick a side of this bet. Which one where would you go?
Oh, I mean, Davey's side is the easy side. Yeah, I'm on a limb. I'm rolling with optimism Tuesday. You guys are you're playing
that's
it safe.
That's the thing. Tennessee can win big and you still wouldn't win the bet.
Yeah, but if Tennessee wins big, I'll feel great.
I think for you to hit yours there'll have to be to where no one player scores over 15.
You're probably right, which is ironic.
That's
considering
what happened last
considering
time,
the first bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, no,
four
is
guys what, with 11 was, and one with 14.
Yeah. Like. That's what happened. So I'm reverse mojoing. Mm-hmm. You watch tonight, some dude will go for like, yeah, we were saying it earlier, 28.
Yeah.
Bowden will drop 28. Fulkerson will have 10. Everybody else will be, you know, 6, 7, 8. But I'd take it as long as we win.
Euros is getting that 30-20 game.
I hope he has a 30-20 season. Good. He's still getting into the flow, guys. He hadn't been playing.
Okay.
It's like Vescovi came out red hot. Now there's a little tape on him. It's okay. He's going to settle down.
Do you think they'll start off slow, or do you think they'll be like kind of firing on all cylinders like you saw in the second half against Vanderbilt?
Man, I'm really hoping they can ride that wave. I mean, this is – I know I said it last week. Like, I didn't want the delay. I like the quick turnaround this week. I like that you had such a great second half against Vanderbilt and you've got the Tuesday game. I wish it was at 7, obviously, but I like the fact that it's – actually, I wish it was at – yeah, like I wish they were playing Central Time. They were 6 local. I'd feel much better about it. I hate – I mean, listen, I didn't play. I was a team manager, but I hated late tips because it feels like your entire day just drags because if you're a player, like you can't really do anything.
Yeah.
So it's just you're thinking basketball and waiting on it all day. I wish coming off the hot, you know, performance against Vanderbilt, especially in the second half, that they were an earlier game today. But now I don't know, man. I really do. I think they found something against Vanderbilt. I think they're going to run a little bit tonight. I think the shots are going to fall. And I think to Rick Barnes's point, I know Nate didn't like it, but I think there is something about because of the new additions, the late additions, and then Bowden's slump. Like, I think you had to kind of relearn this team a little bit. I think they're going to come out and play well tonight. Maybe they'll hit triple digits. I don't know.
Fine.
I think he's going to score 100. Get some chicken sandwiches for the folks. They like that.
Can I bet you on that?
No.
Okay. We'll come back. Final segment of the program. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. What was that, Davey?
What was what?
It's the final segment.
What about it? Playing jump around.
Optimism Tuesday.
It's Optimism Tuesday.
So sleep at the wheel up there.
Double bumper Tuesday. I like that.
Maybe
I think you should spin mix
I can,
up more stuff.
Maybe that,
I can DJ. Try it. I got a lot of songs in the database. So
yeah, but you
got
to time it right. They got to be the same beats per minute.
Why we can just try it out on air. Like, why even like do it beforehand? We'll just see if it sticks or not. Like,
yeah.
You want to just create
we'll do
some,
it live.
Mix them.
We could create some music medleys.
I used to be a DJ.
You did?
What?
Yeah.
The Billo?
Yeah.
You haven't had gumbo and used to be a DJ?
That's correct.
You're a weird man.
That's pretty What'd good.
What'd you DJ?
Weddings.
8th grade,
I had a
graduation.
Good buddy
dances.
Of mine. He makes pretty good money DJing weddings.
Yeah?
Yeah. He, you know, he started, he was just playing off like a iPod, and now he's got like a DJ thing.
Is he?
Yeah. I don't think so. I don't. I mean, it's weddings. I don't know if you can really get away with that.
Yeah, that's really overrated. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It's kind of like romance in movies. It's not like romance in real life. Like, there's not a lot of DJs at weddings.
Did you see this dad that choked a rabid coyote to death?
No.
the coyote attacked his 2-year-old, and the dad just grabbed the coyote and choked him to death.
I Am Legend all over again.
Okay, I don't need that. Sad. Speaking of, though, did you see the girl who found the stray German Shepherd and tried to take pictures with it and got her face chomped off?
That was
not really, but she did have like nine. Like, that is current society. You find a stray dog, you want to take all these pictures, you don't realize anything about stray dogs other than you want the picture, and forget that this animal might have been abused, and you put your face close to its face, and boy, that thing had some chompers. German Shepherds, man, they I mean, it's like half wolf. That poor girl, her face, I mean, looked like she fell through a glass window. It was bad. But this guy choking a coyote to death to save his 2-year-old, that's pretty amazing.
You think
what's the biggest animal you think you could fight off of a child, your child?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I mean, I think you could get a coyote.
Because you go in, like, fight or flight mode, and you just don't even know your own strength.
Right, but, like, a grizzly bear, I'm sorry, you're not going to win that one. But, like...
I bet you would do some stupid things to
no, I agree with that.
A grizzly bear, though.
Yeah. Black bear? You think you could do a black bear? Really?
No.
Would you try?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I wouldn't win. Like, your best bet with a black bear is to annoy it to the point where it just leaves you alone.
See, I think,
does that count?
Yeah.
Like, you fight hard enough to where it's like, okay, I'm not going to be able to eat this dude. So
I'd much rather face a black bear than, like, a cougar. Like, a big...
Cats are kind of, I mean, they have claws. Most, like...
That's what I'm saying. Like, well, so do bears, but they're not as sharp. But, like, a mountain lion, those claws, like, I would much rather fight a coyote or a wolf.
Yeah, I feel like wrestling the dog is the closest you can get to this, and that's like coyote light, right? Like, I mean,
yeah,
you know, like
dog
a
is coyote
dog.
Light, but a cougar. I feel like a bear is like dog coyote.
What
max.
About a bobcat?
No, cats, man. Like, I don't think I could take a house cat. Have you seen like an angry house cat? Like the video of this is Peaches and this is our animal of the week. And it just rips the guy's crotch off.
Like a Netflix show right now. It's called Don't Bleep with Cats.
Yeah. It's a good title. I might need to watch it. Cats, though. I'd be out on cats. I guess that is probably just hit the gamut, right? Like, I don't know what else we'd run into in the wild. Like a snake or something, but you just run away. But like a cougar, no thank you. Bear, black bear, maybe. I'd rather see that than a cougar.
What about a hog? No thing. Those tusk.
Was it Old Yeller? They were terrified of wild hogs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's because there would be a bunch of them. I feel like one hog, like, I could, like, get away.
I don't know what their deal is. Like, I've seen them in the Smokies. Like, they're not.
Hogs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's typically when it's just my wife and I hiking and we don't talk for a while. And twice we've run into them. They're real skittish, though. Like, they don't...
Oh, yeah, they... Yeah.
Like, they... Two of them came around the corner of a trail and just slammed on the brakes and were staring at us. And then all of a sudden, they just, like, almost jumped off the side of the mountain and just crashed through the woods
to
get away.
I've heard sometimes, though, they're very aggressive.
Yeah, I don't...
I don't know much
about
hogs.
We saw, like, a sow with her little piglets once hiking with the kids. And what the little... Piglets ran out in front of us on the trail. It was funny because there was this blonde one.
Hello, piglet.
There were like three or four black ones. And there's one little blonde one run. At first, I thought it was a raccoon. The first little black one ran out. And I was like, what? Your brain just starts
cycling through.
Yeah. And then this little blonde one runs out. And
blonde?
I'm like, these are pigs.
Pigs.
And then my kids are going crazy. They think it's the coolest thing ever. And I'm like, whoa, get closer to me. Because I'm like, where's mama? Like,
mama
see
pig.
Mama come charging down the mountain.
Which one does it? Is it the males that have the tusks or is it both? I need a hog.
I'm not sure.
I need a hog expert.
I don't know. We saw the mom eventually up on the ridgeline. She just didn't give a bleep. She was just like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Like, I'm just up here trying to eat, you know.
I had a neighbor growing up who had French bulldogs.
Yeah.
And he would hog hunt.
Really?
Yeah. He says it's pretty scary, like, because the tusks, they would, like, you know, hit the dog or whatever, bleeding pretty bad.
Mm.
Never been hog hunting.
Yeah, I don't know if they charge you. I've never seen a video of a hog.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Charging.
I know that the guy in
Hannibal they're shooting them in the Smokies.
People to hogs because hogs can chew through bone.
I mean, they let the Rangers go out there and they hunt them. They do, they're
just, it's a big problem in Texas.
Yeah, they're
they figured out how to barbecue them, though, so no problem. Mm. You got to clean them a special way because it's like wild and they're gamey.
RIP Arkansas. Although they did get a new quarterback. I guess we'll talk about that tomorrow. The Blitz is next.
Frank
Stick
the Tank
with us right here on Fan Run Radio.